I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad. We're recording very late tonight, but I had a chance to get on the road and get out and about. Stayed late, very, very late at work, it happens. But I have no intentions in the inbox, but I want to invite you to write in your intentions anyway to dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural at protonmail.com. And encourage you to send in any intentions, great or small. Although, you know, I'm thinking about opening something up on the Telegram channel, maybe some comments or a separate chat or something for people to submit prayer requests in it, for no other reason than I seem to get more requests through Telegram or pick up requests through Telegram than I do into the email. So it may be that that is a more convenient way for people to submit their requests and submit their intentions. It may also just be that that's where people, it occurs to people. I mean, I certainly know feels like to be very busy, but I nevertheless encourage you to you can hunt me down on there, or you can comment on any one of the episodes that I post. We're syndicated over on Exodus Americanus, and we've got we're posting on there, and if there's a comment section, go ahead and submit intentions there, and I'll be happy to pray for those intentions. The most recent intention was, I guess, less of an intention, more of an inquiry, which I thought was rather amusing, actually. Someone had posed the question to me whether it was appropriate to submit as an intention the prayer for the success of this ongoing economic hubbub that's happening with these shorted stocks. I don't really understand it very well. I understand investment very little, banking not at all, and the only thing I understand about money is that God seems to make sure that I have enough of it to pay my bills and do nothing else. So I don't know that I can comment on it to any great extent, but I can say that the people that are involved in what's going on the market are involved in something that is unethical at best and probably immoral, based on my understanding of the intricacies of the market and the way that everybody says the stock market's such an important thing, and as it goes up, wages have gone down and people have been out of work and people are suffering. So it's very difficult not to see a correlation there. And so I said it was appropriate to pray for the success of what I guess they're calling the short squeeze and the correction or the justice of this thing against these hedge funds. A hedge fund in and of itself seems to me an unethical thing, at least. It's not usury is evil. There's no questioning that. The Holy Church teaches it and has always taught it. The Scripture teaches it. Usury is evil, and anything usurious or serving the interests of the usurious classes, because there are, that's not a natural division of mankind, but there does seem to be an artificial body of people who are dedicated to usury. And those people, as agents of sin, should be stopped. That's justice for them to be stopped. So, in that regard, I think that the prayer for the failure of these hedge funds and the success of the people trying to deprive these people of money, because in gaining money, they deprive people more deserving of it, of money. It seems to me that that's an appropriate prayer. But, as with all things, I add the caveat that I am a layman and not allowed to preach. I'm not licensed, not allowed. I'm not given authority to teach on theological matters, and anything that I say that transgresses against the teachings of the Holy Church, I always proceed it with my own recantation of any heresy that I'm about to teach or say. And so, revoco, to any heresy that I've spoken and any heresy that I'm about to speak. That having been said, I certainly want to pray for people who are without money because of the way that the stock market has been played, who have been denied their just wages, which is a sin that cries out to heaven. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the reflection, about sins that cry out to heaven and where money fits into all of this. But for right now, I am going to pray for the success of anyone who, with Christian motivations, is pursuing this short squeeze. And it seems to me that there are a decent chunk of people that are pursuing it with Christian motivations, and in the service of the widow and the orphan, so to speak. So those people, I will absolutely pray for their success and the destruction of their enemies. And of course, the destruction, or better, the conversion of all the enemies of God that are involved in this whole thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For all those in financial trouble, for all those who are doing the Lord's work with their money, for the protectors of the widow and the orphan, St. Nicholas, patron of merchants, pray for us. For all those in struggle of any kind, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the subject of money, and that is very near to the subject of politics, it seems almost inappropriate for a project of this nature to comment, because by and large what I'm doing doesn't involve giving people financial advice. Political advice of any kind. My goal is to equip people to do battle with the devil in your day-to-day life, to help you to fight the inner crusade that you must wage against the inner Saracen, to drive him hence, and to be victorious on behalf of Christ and his holy cross in conquering yourself and in enthroning him in the temple of your heart. That's the whole point behind the Daily Decade and everything that we do here. So, it almost seems, inappropriate to talk about politics, to talk about money. I have at various times made commentary on where I think people go wrong in their politics, disparaging, for example, the love of one's people or one's tribe, the general tendency towards leftism and the blending of liberalism with Christianity, which are two things that are just utterly opposed to one another. There's no space for one in the other, and there's that's simply the case. And the left has made this very clear. It's strange that the Christians have not. When it comes to money, though, you have all sorts of problems, because we're so far removed from any kind of structure or society or way of thinking that reflects a Christian understanding of the way that, economics should work, that it's almost impossible to say exactly what a biblical economy looks like. We simply don't live in a world that looks like that anymore, and that's part of the reason why the popes have issued documents like Rerum Novarum and commentary on Rerum Novarum that you find in Quadragesimo Anno. It's part of the reason why there's so much heated discussion about things like Father Coughlin's social justice, or the Catholic worker movement, Chavez. I think Catholic worker was Dorothy Day. And there's a lot of discussion about, are we capitalists? Are we communists? Are we distributists? What does that even mean? And then you have people that try to make the sense of all of this. I don't think that it's fruitful for us to try to make sense of all of this in that fashion. We get bogged down in things of this world. We go seeking the living among the dead. What we know for certain and what we can base ourselves on are the precepts of the church, which involves the sins that can be committed and what is sinful. Well, we know that one of the sins that cries out to heaven for vengeance, that's big. That's a very, very important thing to highlight. This is a sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance. Is withholding the laborer his just wage? Well, what exactly does that seems very straightforward, doesn't it? Man works a day's work for you at an agreed upon price and you don't pay him that, then you have withheld the just wages of a worker and you have committed it a mortal sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance. In the way that the blood of Abel cried out from the earth to God and accused his brother Cain, you are committing a sin of Cain and Abel when you withhold the just wage of the worker. Well, when you're dealing with systematic economics, which work on a level that is far above and beyond any individual man's ability to process it or really even interfere with it, what happens then? You know, can the system deny a worker his just wages? Now, I can already hear the chorus of people listening to this all saying yes, because I know enough people who I've seen enough people comment on things and tell me about what's recorded here to know that I think a good chunk of people listening would agree that a system, an economic system, which is designed to guarantee human well-being, if it does not do that, then it is doing some evil. But I also know that there are a lot of people out there that would disagree with this. Most of those people do not make Christ the center of their concerns. So that's something to bear in mind. When you are tied to a market entity that interferes with your spiritual life, and I would argue that any market entity is going to, of the complexities of the modern command capitalist economy, because that's what it is. It's a command economy that functions on some basic capitalistic principles. Those principles involve the invisible hand of the market, I suppose, being, it's kind of an idol more than it is anything else, because there is no invisible hand of the market. People manipulate the market accordingly. We've seen that. But it, at least the illusion has to be maintained. And so inevitably the system, the economic system that we live around, encourages one to a certain degree of dishonesty with oneself. And likewise, it's one which is not altogether, well, no one's really free of it. No one's really free of it, and it encourages us to worldliness. It's one thing to make a day's wage and then spend that day's wage on a day's bread. Any system that goes beyond that, any system that diminishes that, is inevitably one that's going to lead people into sin. The system that we live under right now leads people into sin. And that's all there is to it. And you can say that that's been the case for a long time, that the feudalism was no less sinful, and you can't argue that. I know I personally would say you're wrong, but I think that it could be argued successfully. But we cannot deny, and we cannot change the fact, that regardless of what other systems may lead people into sin, the one that we live under right now, the world in which we live right now, is one of them. And that means that as people who wish to avoid sin, and as people who wish to seek God and live good Christian lives, we must regard this economic system as an obstacle to that, and therefore as an enemy of God. We can't escape that. If the system that you live under leads you into sin, if the thing that you are tied to leads you into sin, it leads you away from God. And that makes it an enemy of God. It doesn't matter whether there's a better system. It doesn't matter really whether the system is the lesser of two evils, it remains evil. And that means that anything that aids in its usurpation, I suppose is the word, inevitably serves the will of God. Because the will of God is that nothing be lost. The will of God is that sin cease to be, that God embraces all. We live in a system which is designed to increase and maximize material happiness, material well-being, and through that to allow people to think religious thoughts. That's the theory behind it. That's really the theory behind all of this, is that if we make everyone wealthy, then everyone will be good, because people who are poor do not have time to be good, ultimately, is the theory that comes out of the 19th century in favor of this. It's a kind of utilitarianism. It's not strictly what John Stuart Mill believed in, but it is more or less utilitarian. Our system serves that end. It is, therefore, an unchristian system. The whole point behind Rerum Novarum and Quadragesimo Anno and every other commentary on the system is a means whereby to make it more Christian, bring it into, to try to mitigate the evils that are inherent to it. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of people have lost sight of the fact that those evils exist, though, and that's where we get where we are now. People have stopped making an effort to mitigate the evils that are inherent to the system. And that is ultimately what has put us where we are. The people who are on top of this thing are not Christians. That's the other thing that we know for certain. They are not Christians. They do not believe what we believe. Many of them hate what we believe. Many of them hate God. And we should pray earnestly for all of them to be converted. But we should pray likewise earnestly that by whatever, I don't want to say by whatever means possible, but by whatever means the Lord allows and appoints, by whatever method is pleasing to God, and I don't know what that is, these people should cease to have power over God-fearing men. That was the whole point of what Christ did when he deliberately sat down and very carefully and methodically took of the grass, harmless grass, and wove himself a cat of nine tails, the likes of which he himself would be scourged with under the orders of Pontius Pilate, and beat the money changers out of the temple. He did not do this because money was inherently evil. He did it because what they were doing was dragging men into sin and vice and evil, and in the presence of God in the temple. They had made an altar to Mammon there in the holy place. It was an abomination in the high place. And Christ drove the money changers from the temple for that reason. It's not that you can't do buying and selling in a church. People like to reduce it to that. You shouldn't do that anyway, but it's not just that you can't do buying and selling in church. It's more than that. It is something that is supposed to direct people to God and to Christ and to holiness has been usurped and is being used to draw men back down into the pit of their own sins, to make them vicious. And by that we don't mean horrifically cruel or brutal. What we mean is full of vice, given over to their vices, given over to their sinfulness, their temptations. No one can look at the world we inhabit, this poor facsimile of Christendom that the West has become, and say that it does not draw men into vice where it ought to make them holy. Our civilization, our very civilization, was once at least designed to make men holy. It didn't always succeed at that. In fact, it failed more often because it's human. It's a human structure. But the principle, the driving principle, the animating principle of it was to make men more holy. That temple that was Christendom has been infested with money changers of all kinds, psychological, spiritual, and very literal money changers. And any effort that is made on behalf of God to drive these money changers from the temple is an effort that is pleasing to God. It must be. To draw men away from the world and draw them nearer to God is our entire purpose as Christians. That's what it means to go forth and make disciples of all nations. Well, does that make us communists? Does it make us laissez-faire capitalists? That's not the real question. What ideology should we preach? Christianity is the ideology you should preach. What hill should we die on? Calvary is the only hill a Christian should die on. That which serves God is good. That which does not is evil. You know, there's a passage in Solzhenitsyn. I think it's in the First Circle is the name of the book, in the First Circle. And he has an interview with a peasant that he's in prison with. And he asks him what his morality is based on. Of course, the deep philosophical question. And the peasant's response is, killing wolves is good. Eating people is bad. And that's it. Killing wolves is good. Eating people is bad. The wolf devours. He undermines the farmer's livelihood by devouring his livestock, kills his dogs, makes his family live in fear. Eating people is wrong. Consuming your fellow man with anger, with wrath, with exploitation of any kind, treating him like your own sustenance, is evil. We live in a society that is built around the glorification of the wolf and the consumption of other human beings. Anything that goes after the people that designed this thing and that operated is inevitably in service of God by logical conclusion. What exactly is the course that we must take as Christians in terms of practical terms? Pray for the destruction of God's enemies and for the triumph of the cross in every heart. Because if that happens, pray for the consecration of Russia, because Our Lady told us to do it. Pray for repentance and repent yourself, because that will give us back our priests and our bishops. Earnestly give yourself over to the service of God, and it will change everything around you, and it will bring you closer to God. Make your aim and your soul love that which is beyond this world, in the service of God. And make that the aim of your children and your wives and your mothers and fathers. If we all do that, then we have done all that we can do. And pray for the success of those who wage war on God's enemies, wherever they may be found, whoever they may be. And it is my prayer that through these efforts, and through our faith, and through the repentance of the world, that we will all be delivered from the rule of ungodly men. And that this chastisement, which we now suffer, shall not give way to a greater one, but that we might turn and face God in love and penitence, and seeking his forgiveness, be granted it, and walk with him as Enoch walked with him, humbly all the days of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.